In the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us that anyone who is thirsty should come to him and drink, because he says that scripture tells us rivers of living water will flow from within whoever believes. And St. John then makes the point that he was talking about the Holy Spirit. We ask ourselves, why would he talk about the Spirit as water? Rivers of living water are going to flow from us. St. Cyril of Jerusalem talked about the fact that water is something that is necessary for everything that is alive. No matter what it is, if it has life, it needs water. St. Basil talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is like the sun. It shines on everything and it gives life. You can't have life without them. Everything is dependent on water. Everything is dependent on the sun. But we ourselves, if we stop to think about it, the word spirit, it's the wind, it's the breath, all these things. The Greek word for spirit is pneuma, which you'll recognize as the root of our word pneumonia. If you're having trouble with breathing, it's oftentimes pneumonia. Well, same word. So it's the breath, the spirit, it's the water, it's all these things, how the Lord talks about the Spirit. So if we take those things that we've already mentioned, back in those days, they would have had no concept of some of the scientific elements that we understand. But now we can say within our own body, every single cell in our body is dependent on water. It doesn't matter what kind of cell it is, whether that's your skin, whether that's your blood, whether that's an organ within your body, doesn't matter. Every single cell is absolutely dependent on water. So the Lord talks about that then. He knew, the people didn't. They couldn't have understood at that time, but we can. To be able to see that we need the Spirit just as we need water. But we can take this even a step further. Because if you go back to the book of Genesis, we hear about God creating Adam, but Adam didn't yet have life in him. And so it said, God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam. That's the soul. Your soul is the principle of life in your body. Everything in your body is dependent upon the soul. Just as everything in our body is dependent on water. But in order to have life, we have to have the soul. We need to have the water to stay alive, but we have to have the soul first before we can have life. Well, remember, after our Lord rose from the dead, we are told that he breathed on his apostles and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. So the exact same action that we see happening when Adam was first created, except this point, the apostles already were alive. So what's Jesus doing? What happened in the garden is that God breathed natural life into Adam. And that is what's passed down to each one of us. We have natural life. What Jesus did was to give supernatural life to his apostles. In other words, what happened, if you think of it this way, you had the body of Adam that didn't have any life, and God breathed natural life into him, so now his body had life. What Jesus did was breathe new life into the soul. Not so much into the body, into the soul. And so it is supernatural life. It is divine life. It is God's life in our soul. So what's interesting is that when you read what we heard in the gospel reading, Jesus says that if you're thirsty, come to him and drink, but then listen to what he says. Rivers of living water will flow from within him. So when you drink, you're putting the water in. He's saying that the living waters are going to flow from us. So we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to be able to receive what he's giving us. But then we need to turn it around. We need to do something with this. And that's exactly what we hear about in the gospel, in the second reading, when St. Paul talks about how the Spirit comes to our aid and our weakness because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And so the Holy Spirit will pray in us. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't have to pray because the Holy Spirit will do it for me. No, that just simply means I need to make sure that the prayer is the priority, and where my weakness doesn't allow me to pray as I ought, the Holy Spirit will fill in and take care of that. But it's not magic. He's not going to do it without our will. He's not going to force us to do something we don't want to do. So if we're making prayer the priority, then the rivers of living water can flow through us, because those rivers of living water then are the grace of God. They are therefore the life and the love of God. And if we think about, again, the analogy, the way that I presented it a minute ago, if your soul gives life to your body and the Holy Spirit gives their supernatural life to your soul, and just as your soul affects every single point of your body, again, everything that is alive, your soul is there, because the soul is the principle of life. Well, that means that the Holy Spirit is going to affect everything in your soul. And your soul, in turn, is affecting everything in the body. So, your soul is the principle of life, and it's natural life. Now it has supernatural life. Your soul has two faculties, a mind and a will. A mind to be able to know the truth, and a will to be able to choose and to love. What is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of truth, who is given to lead us into all truth. He's the Spirit of love. And so we see what God has done for us. He has lifted us up to the supernatural level of acting and being. And now he's given us the means to be able to know his truth, because he told us the Spirit is given to lead us into all truth. And the Spirit is given to be able to allow us to love God and to love our neighbor. Now, if we take this even further, we can look at this and say, okay, what is necessary for us to maintain natural life? Okay, you have to have life to begin with. You have to have food. You have to have water. Look at what Jesus has done. He's given us supernatural life. And now he's given us the Holy Spirit, which he likens to water, and he's given us the Holy Eucharist. Not food for the body, food for the soul. Exactly the things that we need to maintain the supernatural life within us. And of course, we have to have air. We have to be able to breathe. And that's what the Holy Spirit does within us. But that breathing of the Holy Spirit, again, is going to be primarily in prayer. That's what St. Paul is getting at. So we need all of these things to be able to function in our fullness. There's somebody who can just barely be alive because they're dehydrated, or because they can't breathe, or because they're starving. They might still be alive, almost on life support, if you will. And that same thing can happen to our soul. If we're not praying, we're not getting the spiritual water in. If we're not receiving our Blessed Lord, we're not getting our spiritual food. If we're not praying, we're not getting the life of the Holy Spirit, the breath of the Holy Spirit within our soul. And yeah, the soul still has life, but it's barely hanging on if it's not getting what it needs. And if we even look at what happened in the first reading, we know, as the saints have told us, that okay, you've got Babel. So all the people had one language, and now all of a sudden it became became separated and everybody went their own way because they didn't speak the same language anymore. And at Pentecost, of course, the Holy Spirit is given. The apostles were able to speak in tongues so that it didn't matter what language somebody spoke, everybody heard them speaking in their own native language. But now we look at it a little bit deeper. No matter where you are on the face of this earth, if Mass is being offered, doesn't matter what language it's in, the prayer is the same. If we are all united in prayer, whether that's praying the Holy Rosary, or whether that's the Divine Mercy Chapel, or whether it's just sitting quietly with the Lord and being united with Him in our hearts, it doesn't matter what language you speak, it's all the same. That's where the unity comes. Because the language that we speak as the Church of Jesus Christ is to be the truth, and it is to be charity. The truth is the same no matter where you go in the world, and love is the same no matter where you go in the world. It doesn't matter what language comes out of your mouth. The reality is that what's coming from the heart, the rivers of living water that flow from the heart, that's the same for everyone. And so we see the unity that God has brought, not a unity that everyone speaks in the same tongue anymore, but a unity of truth and a unity of charity, the mind and the will. You see what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. How do we get that? Once again, only through prayer. Prayer conforms us to God. Prayer allows us to be the persons God created us to be. Prayer allows us to be able to root out sin in our lives and be able to fill all of that in with grace and with charity. And because we don't know how to pray as we should for these things, that's where the Holy Spirit once again is going to lead us. If we will give ourselves to Him. The Holy Spirit is God. And He dwells within you if you are in the state of grace. He is right there. But what He wants is for you to be able to live in the fullness. Remember, Jesus said, I came that they could have life and have it abundantly. It's supernatural life that He wants to give you in abundance, not a little bit, everything. But what we do is because of our sins, because of our stubbornness and our pride and so on, we just kind of squeeze it all down. The Holy Spirit wants to operate in us freely, and we don't allow it. But that's what prayer does. It begins to open our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can operate within us, so that He can conform us more and more to Himself. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit who animated Jesus Christ. You're a member of Jesus Christ. So the more that you allow the Spirit to operate in you, the more you become like our blessed Lord. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's who we are. That's who we're created to be. And so if we look at it that way, it's all for the good. It's all for our benefit. And it's what's going to make us saints. So if we can look at it that way, we can stop and ask ourselves, why would I not want this to happen? Why would I fight this? Because that's what we do in our humanness, we fight it. Why would I not want to be the child of God that He wants me to be? Why would I not want to live a holy life as He wants me to live it? See, that's where we have to decide, I want what God is offering. And if we can do that, come to our blessed Lord and drink freely from what he is offering us, which is himself. But then it's going to turn the other way. As we drink all of that in, the rivers of living water will flow out from us. That's what we see in the lives of the saints. And that's what can happen for you and me as well. That's what God is offering. So we celebrate Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit isn't just about one day out of the year. Yes, that day 2,000 years ago was an extraordinary day. But that same Holy Spirit is given to you, and he is operative in you every single moment of every single day. And so it is the unity of truth, the unity of charity that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in every single one of us and in the whole world if we are willing to allow him to do his work. That's why we need to pray. That's what the fruit of prayer is all about. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to conform us to the supernatural life of God, to conform us to be the children of God that he desires us to be.